Senate Resource Committee of April 11th, 2005 to order. Members currently present are Senator Ralph Seekins, Senator Fred Dyson, and myself, Senator Tom Wagner, Chair. The first bill we're going to hear is House Bill 198, Aquatic Farming. You thought you were going to have to be replaced, huh?
Frankly, Senator, I thought I was going to be waiting until after the University Land Bill was done.
No, we wouldn't put you through that. Go ahead.
For the record, Josh Govar's staff to Representative Jim Elkins, House sponsor for House Bill 198. Basically, House Bill 198 is identical to Senator Stebbins' bill, the SB 126, the aqua farming bill that you heard last week. And the representative wanted to thank you all for your support of that legislation and hopes that you'll also support on the floor. If you have any other questions, comments, concerns, more than happy to take any questions that I can.
Are there any questions from the committee on the House Bill 198? Seeing none, thank you. What's the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move House Bill, CS for House Bill number 198, Resources, with the amended title, from committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Any objection? Let's have a brief at ease. Next item before the committee today is Senate Bill 85, Off-Road Vehicles Use on the Dalton Highway. Before we go any further, let the record reflect that Senator Elton has joined us and Senator Stedman. So with that, Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last week I talked to the members about the letter of intent to be attached to this bill, and we've provided a copy to the members of the language that I would suggest that we put into that letter of intent, and I would respectfully move, Mr. Chairman, that we adopt this letter of intent attached to the bill as it goes forward.
Any objection? If not, the letter of intent is adopted and will be part of the bill as it moves forward. Should say be attached to the bill as it moves forward. Let's see. Okay, we're going to go directly to public testimony. I'm going to take public testimony from those who have not had a chance to testify yet on this bill. If you've already testified or if you've put in written testimony, we had to give other people a chance to testify, so that's the way I'm going to run this. And so we'll start off net. First person is Mike Bell. Are you online, Mike?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am here.
Go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members, for your time. I'll testify on behalf of the trucking industry and the Mount Everest app with opening up the haul roads to utilize ATVs. I'm concerned that opening up this initially designed industrial road will become a recreational area where activity flourishes, especially during the shoulder seasons when commercial activity is at its highest. That coincides with the level of hunting and fishing during the season. The fact that the haul road was not initially designed for tourists in mind, even with the ongoing improvements that have helped and continue to help the haul road, the fact remains that there's virtually this entire 400 miles roadway is almost entirely absent from any shoulders and has got a handful of pull-ups along the way. With no pull-ups along the way, it encourages recreational road users to pull over along the side of the road, and it creates a safety hazard for themselves and any traffic that does coincide with them. This, and the sheer fact of the matter is that no one does any traffic enforcement along this roadway, and it's almost up to the judgment of the individual to see where they want to park and how risk averse it really is. My fear is that currently there are many tourists and hunters that do utilize this, and Senate Bill 85 will only help pave the way to encourage more users to utilize this road. My concern is that if we do open this up to recreational users, a lot of these people do not understand the rules of the road. Where is the ideal place to pull over, and where is it going to get them into trouble? Because as we know, we do rely on crude oil van. My truckers do use this road and utilize this road more than almost anybody else. In the same sentence, though, I do realize that this is a publicly funded road. So if we do move forward with a Senate bill as such, I would encourage this committee to prioritize some funding to increase the availability of shoulders and pull-ups to accommodate the additional recreational users who would then use this road. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions with Mr. Bill? Thanks for your testimony. And due to the number of people we have here to testify on this and another bill, I want to hold testimony of about 2 minutes. And I'll let you go over about 15 seconds on that, but we want to give everybody a chance to speak. So the next person off net is, hope I get this name right, Heidi Schoppenhartz.
You
got about 15 seconds there, Heidi.
Excuse me?
About 15 seconds. You wrap up, please. Any questions? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next person is I guess that concludes, unless we've got any more. We got any more names?
Not 35.
Okay. That concludes the people off net. So next we'll go to other LIOs. There's nobody else in other LIOs? Well, we get back a hold of them, I'll go back to them. Next, we'll have testimony from people in Juneau that are here. Varasha Matharani. Was that right?
It's Varasha Matharani.
Oh, okay. I wasn't even close. I'm sorry.
Thank you for allowing public testimony regarding SB 85. It gives constituents the opportunity and ability to voice their concerns to their representatives who represent them. This is what democracy is about, of, by, and for the people. My name is Varsha Mathrani, and I'm from Anchorage. I serve as Environmental Health Coordinator at Alaska Community Action on Toxics. I'm a private citizen speaking on my own behalf, not representing my organization. I have graduate scientific training in environmental health sciences from the University of Michigan and a bachelor's degree in biology focusing on environmental and ecosystem science. I also worked at Tulik Lake Field Station, a long-term ecological research station affiliated with UAF in the North Slope near the Brooks Range, where scientists worldwide come to do state-of-the-art Arctic field and lab research. I'm concerned about the repeal and oppose it because of the ramifications it would have on the pristine untouched tundra in the Arctic and the consequences on current and future scientific research occurring there and in the area. SB 85 would be economically burdensome for state agencies. It also violates long-standing promises made to local area residents and will result in damage to sensitive tundra habitat. The implications on scientific research are real, as tracks formed in the Arctic are long-lasting and pretty much permanent. It can affect the biogeochemistry of this area profoundly. It also has negative effects on wildlife from noise and pollution and local native populations who use this area for subsistence. Now, being a resident of Alaska, I'm astonished at how far behind the state is in many ways. I come from out of state. The first impressions I've had of Alaska is the vast, pristine, diverse Arctic wilderness, also known as the last frontier. We're living on this planet as if we had another one to go. It's a quote from Terry Swearingen. Learning more about the public policies, urban planning, etc. of this state, I wonder how we will make it a frontier that lasts. I ask you to please think long term. I applaud the efforts of socially and environmentally responsible legislators and ask others to consider our future. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there any questions? Thank you very much for testifying. Next is Willie Dunn.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity to testify. My name's Willie Dunn. I live in Fritz Creek outside of Homer. I'm a hunter and a fisherman, and I have used ATVs, and they can be great tools for accessing certain areas if they're used appropriately. Also a biologist. I studied wildlife biology, and I worked as in wildlife and fisheries biology off and on over the past 30 years. I live adjacent to the Anchor River watershed, and the Anchor River, if you don't know, is a wonderful river for king salmon fishing, silver salmon, steelhead fishing. We have a Kenai area plan that is designed to regulate uses of the lands. We also have laws which prohibit the use of motorized vehicles in salmon spawning streams. despite all that, we have a great deal of damage from ATVs in our salmon spawning streams. I've got some photographs here, and I asked Ms. Jackson if she could copy these later for you, but these were done taken by a fish and game biologist who did a study on the impacts of ATVs in the Anchor River watershed, especially the tributaries upstream of the Anchor River. And basically, there's been several studies done since his photo documentation that have showed sedimentation affecting both the salmon fry and the eggs, and also rechannelization, changing of the channels, which cuts off spawning areas and also isolates fry from their egress out to the river. So basically, despite having laws to try and prevent this, we have had incredible amount of damage from ATVs in the Anchor River watershed. So I just want to let you know that that's our experience down on the Kenai Peninsula. And if the law were repealed, which prohibits ATV use along the Dalton Highway, I think there'd be damage in spite of any regulations or intent to prohibit damage to the salmon spawning streams or the tundra. I've also studied birds off and on throughout Alaska, and I know there's a large number of ground nesting birds that can be impacted by ATVs. Shorebirds, passerine birds, waterfowl, they're all ground nesters in the tundra. And we're going to be having a shorebird festival in Kachemak Bay here in a few weeks, and there's birds migrating right now from all over the world that pass through Kachemak Bay and then fly on up to nest in the tundra up in the north. And I'm sure ATVs along the Dalton Highway would have impacts on those nesting birds also. So, you know, rather than repeal the law, if there is a problem with allowing hunters access into these areas, I just as soon see amendments made to the law which would make exceptions for restricted use for hunters. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there any question of Mr. Dunn? Thank you very much. Jules Dunn.
Hi, I'm Jules Dunn, and this is my first time testifying in person, and I want to thank you all for the opportunity to take part in the democratic process that gives citizens a vote. It means a lot to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. I feel the statute as it stands is doing a good job of protecting this fragile system and making non-motorized access possible. I'm against the repeal of this existing law. I believe that opening the corridor to off-road vehicle traffic would have devastating, irreparable, long, far-reaching effects on this fragile ecosystem. Repealing this law also opens the door to many legal, safety, and enforcement problems that I see no fiscal note for. To me, it makes more sense to plan ahead for the necessary regulations and funding before changing this existing law. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there questions? Thank you very much for testifying. Is it Dave Nevtsel? Say that again.
Nutzel,
okay. I'll get it right. Thanks, Dave.
Good afternoon. My name is Dave Nutzel.
Swing the mic about 10 inches from you, if you can.
Yeah. My name is Dave Nutzel, and I'd like to sit in front of you and actually oppose this bill. I think that the current bill, in fact, prohibiting off-road activity on the Dalton Highway is a good bill. I've actually traveled the entire distance to North Slope and enjoyed the entire way, enjoyed seeing the scenery and being off the road. But during my travel, I did not find any resources except for entering Coldfoot to help me in my travels. We had two blown tires, things like that. What I was also wondering is, I was looking, trying to understand the bill notes, and I didn't see anything about a finance committee hearing to understand how to pay for all the studies and everything, unless we're going to let everyone just drive the 300 miles anywhere they want into 60,000 square miles. I understand there's a one-year hearing, but I don't know if everything would happen in one-year hearing. I know there's only two law enforcement personnel for the entire area, from the Yukon River north to Prudhoe Bay, one wildlife management officer, and I'm just wondering that we don't have enough, it just repeals it. It doesn't, the new law doesn't create any new standards or any new corridors that, like, down the peninsula, we have a lot of Kenai Peninsula. So I have areas, these are off-road areas, these are not. These are off-road areas, these are not, so that we don't destroy the entire area at once with people traveling. So that's my concern, and I hope you all consider it. Thank you.
Thank you for testifying. Just a minute, see if there's any questions. Any questions? Okay, no questions. Thank you very much. Please let the record note that we've been joined by Senator Guest. Next person to testify, Jeremy Miner.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Jeremy Miner. I'm a resident of Fairbanks, and I want to preface my statement first with a question, and that is, what is the motivation for the repeal of 1940-210 without some sort of thorough forethought into consideration of the ramifications? I understand that there's a one-year time limit after the passing of the bill, should it pass, but this does not seem like enough time given the enormity of the area affected, not only the 5-mile corridor, but the boundaries outside of that that would then be accessible, and also the sensitivity of the ecosystem in the area. I feel more time is needed for consideration into the effects. So rather than repeal 1940-210 in its entirety, it would seem more productive to allow local, state, and federal officials to develop the plans beforehand, not only the plans for recreational use or management plans, but also impact assessments with fiscal notes, so we know what the actual effect on the taxpayer and the users will be. Then, once those findings are made public, approach 1940-210 with perhaps an amendment at best for specific user groups or specific areas where access is necessary, rather than a repeal in its entirety. The current statute has held for more than 20 years with an amendment, and I don't see what the rush at the moment is to have it repealed without looking into it more thoroughly. That's all I have. Thank you, Chair.
Are there questions? That's a good question. Thank you very much. Next is Darcy Warden.
Hi. My name is Darcy Warden. I live in Fairbanks. I've been there for about 1 year now. I lived in Galena for 3 years before that. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to hunt and fish and utilize those resources in a way that I never would be able to anywhere else. And one of the things that I started thinking about when I was reviewing SB 85 is that one of the issues that brought concern for me is that if that 5-mile corridor was opened up to anybody who could drive up that road, I started imagining how that land and how that use area would change dramatically for people like myself and the people who I live with in Galena and all along the Yukon River watershed and beyond that, how their use area would change and their subsistence activities would be altered due to other people who could alter that terrain with their off-road vehicles. So that's a concern for me, and there's also a concern that I just thought of when I was looking at this issue is the nesting issues for the birds that come out here. And right now the migration is taking place and there are the birds that nest on the ground. And I don't know if off-road vehicle users really do understand the nesting issues and that once that terrain is ripped up, it's not ever going to be available for those birds again because it is in a tundra and it's not a repairable damage. So that was the other concern that I had as well. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. This is the first time I've ever done this in person, and to be able to participate in this public process means a lot to me, and I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for testifying. Any questions? Thank you, Darcy.
Thanks.
Next is Julia Smith.
Good afternoon. I'm Julia Smith, and I currently live in Anchorage. I used to live in Girdwood, and I have lived in several places in Alaska. I am also here to oppose SB 85. I wanted to address the safety hazards that this bill would adhere to if it passes. Basically, the bill would allow anyone to venture into this unfamiliar territory that they may not be prepared for. This is a vast land, and there are no limitations as to how far that they can go, and inevitably people will get into trouble on their ATVs. They may run out of gas. They may come in contact with wildlife. They may run into other potential dangers that they are unprepared for and will need some kind of rescue to get out. It does require a knowledgeable and experienced individual to survive these potential dangers, and I'm sorry, and will there be regulations as to who is allowed to go in and how far they are allowed to go? And if there are no regulations, where will the money come from to bring in the rescue people needed to get these people out. The other thing I wanted to bring up is that on the way up the Dalton Highway, there are limited services, and the roads are fairly bad. I have experience driving all the way up to the Brooks Range and beyond to the North Slope, and on the way up, broke down because we blew out two tires on the dirt road, and also the gas stations that the milepost book said would be open at that time of year were not open, and so there are limited services, and we were forced to go to the pipeline to beg for gas, basically. So there are many many reasons that I oppose this bill, and many things to take into consideration if you open this up to the general public. This is the first time I have testified in a situation like this, and thank you for this opportunity.
You did a good job. Thank you for testifying. Any questions? Senator Dyson?
I'm not meaning to be antagonistic, but do you feel that public land shouldn't be open to the general public?
I think there needs to be limitations. I think we need to take into consideration the what the ATVs will do to the...
My question wasn't about ATVs, just about the general public. Should the people of Alaska not have access to the publicly owned land?
I think it depends on where it is and how dangerous it is.
Do you think that maybe we ought to force people who are going to go out in the wilderness to go to classes or go through an inspection or something to make sure that they're prepared to deal with the risks?
I think there should be some kind of regulation to prevent people who are unprepared from going up there and causing damage to themselves and to the land itself. Yes, they should be trained.
Thank you.
Next, here in Juneau, is Lou Thias.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thanks for having me. I've been an Alaska resident for over 30 years. As I remember the protection, the original protection of this bill of the pipeline corridor, it was part of a quid pro quo to get allowances for pipeline construction. I'm proud of the stewardship that we've exhibited over the past 30 years. As the eyes of the nation are refocused on Alaska and on ANWR, I think that it would be a poor choice on our part to abandon this protecting this corridor. On the contrary, I think we should hold it up as an example of follow-through on responsible development. I think that good stewardship is consistency and good business for Alaska. Thank you. That's it, yes.
Questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anybody else? Nobody else online? Okay. At this time, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 85. And before I ask the committee what they want to do with this bill, I want everybody to understand that this bill is not going to leave the control of the Senate this year. And Senator Seekins and I and other members of the Resource Committee plan to hold at least three public hearings this summer or summer and fall on the from Fairbanks to Barrow. Probably be one in Fairbanks, one in Barrow, one in Coldfoot, so we can get more of the people and get the input and look at the situation. And just so you people know, Senator Seekins has done a lot of work to put a lot of sideboards on this, and I don't think he's willing to let people go out with ATVs and tear up the country either. I don't want that, neither does he. So we want to make, if we do open this up, we make sure it's opened up and the proper restrictions are on the people and the proper resources are there to make sure it's used as it's supposed to be used. So, but with that, I'll ask if there's any questions of the committee or what is the wishes of the committee. Senator Seekins? Oh, Senator Guess?
I have a quick question for Senator Seekins, because we've dealt with this in judiciary as well. And can you respond to the zero fiscal note from public safety, and if you've talked to them about the fiscal note? I know, and it seems like everything that's every crime bill going through judiciary has a zero fiscal note, which is always interesting on what that means. But have you discussed it all with them, if they don't believe?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Guest, the bill itself does not create a fiscal note for a number of reasons. First, the Department of Public Safety has not said that they think that there's any reason at this point to increase traffic in order to be able to take care of this. There's an extended effective date. The planning process will take some time. DNR has said that they don't believe that there's a huge planning process that will have to take place for them to be able to take a look at some of these things. The first 180 miles of the road is federal property. BLM has had a land use plan on the shelf, a draft plan, since 1991. They will go through the public hearing process to be able to take into consideration the thoughts of the people along the route that they would have up there, what effects it might have on different animal species, what areas they feel are necessary for them to control access to, what areas they believe could be used for recreational purposes. Board of Games said that they would take a look at any needed changes or requested changes out of cycle, as they do many times other places around the state. So the bill itself doesn't create a need for a fiscal note. That doesn't say that there won't be down the road some fiscal impacts of the planning process, much the same that they do elsewhere around the state. Much of the thought going behind the planning process has already taken place. People have anticipated, and the landowners have anticipated, that someday there's going to be demand from the folks to be able to access public lands. With that in mind, as you go up the road, you start seeing, at least all through the federal portion, you see that already, as I showed you earlier, pictures of campgrounds, pullouts, restrooms. There are actually more pullouts on the Dalton Highway between, let's say, Fairbanks and Coalfoot than there are between any comparable stretch that I know of along the Parks Highway from Anchorage to Fairbanks. Yet I see a lot of recreational use on that road as well, especially in the Cantwell area in the wintertime. So as you go through the process, the landowners have basically said they will start the process, particularly the federal government, and I think that's where most of the requests for land use will be. I anticipate that with DNR that there will be a very restricted use at first, that process won't be all done right away, that they look at it as a living process, where at first they would say, until we can do further studies to take a look at those areas that we believe can be accessed reasonably and without unreasonable harm, that we are not going to allow any access. That'll be a living process. But right now, with a statute that just absolutely prohibits access, there is no process in place. There is no planning in place. So when people talk about there being restrictions or land use plans in place there now, there just really aren't. Now, the federal government is eager to get this done and have some kind of long-term process in place, and so is the state. So basically, it doesn't create within itself a fiscal note.
Please let the record reflect that we've been joined by Senator Ben Stevens. Further discussion? What's the wishes of the body? Senator Seekins?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Senate Bill 85 from committee to the Rules Committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Mr. Chair, I object just to ask a question.
Senator Elton?
I think I can count to four, so I'm not going to object to the vote. But I do think that I appreciate the conversation that you've had with the sponsor of the bill about public hearings from Barrow South by the Resource Committee. this is the last standing committee required to build for being scheduled for the floor. It would seem to me that if, in fact, we do have that kind of outreach to people along the corridor, that it makes sense for us to keep it here in this standing committee. I would note that if, in fact, it's after that outreach and after hearing from people in the region, I would suspect that if, in fact, we still want to move the bill as it is right now and with no changes, that we could do that in the first several days of January next year, where it goes for scheduling to the floor. I think this is a little bit of a cart before the horse, if in fact we're serious about soliciting public testimony along the corridor, and I would just ask you to, and the sponsor, to consider that before we move the bill.
We've talked about that, and we've agreed to move it to rules, and we want it back to work, do some more work on it. I'm sure we can get it back to rules.
Well, I'll remove my objection because I can't count to four, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chairman, I will say that my agreement with rules is that we will bring the bill back after we've had the opportunity.
So, if necessary.
If necessary. Yeah. So with that, the bill will move to rules.
As amended.
As with the attached letter of intent.
I'm sorry, I forgot that.
No, you made a motion on that earlier.
Oh, yes.
There was no objection, so passed.
I want to make sure people know what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Let's stand at ease.
Thank you.